Well, if the Lord's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He has been faithful. He's been good. He's been kind. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. What a full house. What a great crowd that have gathered here for the 11 o'clock service and met a couple of folks. It's your first Sunday, and maybe there are some others that ventured in that I didn't get to speak to, but if this is your first Sunday, we're so thankful that you've chosen us. It means a lot to us, and how we doing? Okay, I think we're okay. It just happens periodically. Hey, but if it's your first Sunday, do me a favor. In the chair in front of you is a guest registration card. Take it, fill it out. Put it in one of the offering plates on your way out. There are offering plates at each exit door. And if you would do that for us, we'd be very, very grateful. Everybody doing well? Good weekend? We had a blast yesterday. Avery Wilson was married in the sanctuary yesterday morning. Is Martin Christie here? They said yesterday they were going to be here for church. And I remember after Annie got married, the next day I sat there like I'd been run over by a train. And they said, no, we plan to be there in the morning. I said, I'll catch y'all later on in the week sometime. Steve, you think I'm good to go? Okay. Try it now. Let's go. We'll try it anyway. I want to preach a message today that is not going to help everybody here. I'll be honest with you. It's a message that's going to help a specific number of people here. This isn't a message for everybody, but this is a message today for somebody. Thanksgiving is behind us. We're right in the heat of the holidays. Christmas is just a few weeks away. And I guarantee you there is somebody here that you've been dealing with loneliness. You've been dealing with this feeling of being alone. And you've been talking to yourself and counseling yourself. You're convinced that you're not wanted, that you're not needed, and that you're not necessary, and you have felt in recent days an aloneness and a loneliness. And it makes you wonder, does anybody really care? H.G. Wells, who was a famous historian, on his 65th birthday wrote this, I am 65 years old, and I'm lonely. Lonely is not just being alone, but lonely is the feeling that nobody cares. In a recent Gallup poll, they discovered 3 out of Americans. This ain't cutting in and out. Okay, bring me the microphone. It's been doing so good in recent days.
Good. Oh, there we go. You know, I never feel more Pentecostal than when I have a handheld mic, all right? But 3 out of 20 Americans, according to Gallup poll, identified as being very, very lonely. Max Lucado writes about walking through a cemetery, and he was looking at all the graves, and he noticed there was a grave of a lady named Grace Llewellyn Smith. And there was no date of birth. There was no date of death. There was no inscription as to her works, as to her interest, as to a husband or being a mother. But here's what the epitaph on that headstone said. Sleeps, but rest not. Loved, but was loved not. Tried to please, but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone. And Lucado found himself wondering what this lady's life could have consisted of if she died as she lived, alone. See, we were created by God for fellowship, friendship, and community. And when we deprive ourselves of those life-giving elements, we do so to our detriment and to our harm. God created us for those things. And it's interesting that loneliness appears early in Scripture. In fact, when God was creating, He created the heavens, said it was good. Created the earth, said it was good. Created man, and said it was good. But He said, there's one thing that's not good. Adam, the man, is alone. And God, the Creator, the designer of you and me, determined that it's not good for man to be alone. Morris West said this, loneliness comes to us all sooner or later. We live in a society where people live in impersonal cities or suburbs, where electronic entertainment often replaces one-on-one conversation, where people move from job to job, state to state, and marriage to marriage. And here's what he assessed. Loneliness has become an epidemic. See, all of us have been created with three psychological needs. The need to love, the need to have someone who understands, and the need to be needed. We need to love. We need to have someone who understands us, and we need to be needed and wanted. In his incredible book, Slaying the Giants of Your Life, David Jeremiah addresses four people in four phases of life who are apt to be lonely. That first group that he identifies is the lonely single. See, oftentimes people who suffer the death of a loved one or after a divorce, or after they first move out of the house, or after they first move off to college, they, for the first time in their lives, will discover loneliness. Now, let me just say this. There are many people who choose to be alone. They love it. They prefer it that way. They want it that way. I always think about Tammy's grandmother, Grandma Helms. Well, she was as saintly and godly a lady as I've ever met, was a faithful member of this church. And when she became a widow in her 60s, she didn't want anybody. She didn't want to date. She didn't want to remarry. She didn't want to tell anybody where she was going or have to ask permission for anything. She loved being alone. We have a senior adult lady that goes to the 8:30 service, and she's been widowed for a long time. I said, have you never been interested in dating or getting remarried? And she said, I don't want a nurse, and I don't want a purse. I don't want to be a nurse, and I don't want to be a purse. And so, listen, there's not everyone is a people person. I find strength in being around people, but there's some people who find being around other people exhausting. And so not everybody needs somebody in their life. There are many singles who are content to stay in their singleness. Coming home to an empty house doesn't discourage them, it excites them. But for the sake of this message, there are some lonely singles. But then there's another group, the lonely spouse. A lot of people determine that marriage is not a cure for loneliness. In fact, some of the loneliest people in America are married people. David Jeremiah said after he preached this sermon on loneliness, a lady wrote to him, and here's what she said the next week. She said, I try not to dwell on the loneliness of marriage, but the truth is I am lonely. My husband and I are both Christians. He's a good man who works hard to provide for me. But all that hard work keeps him from being there to meet my emotional needs. We're like two ships who pass in the bathroom. She said, I don't want to nag. I simply try not to think about the hurt and the emptiness, but in the end, I'm still lonely. And maybe you have a spouse who works out of town or works all the time or who's fully invested in hobbies, and they're never home and they're consumed with other things, and you're a lonely spouse. So there's a lonely single, lonely spouse. But thirdly, there's the lonely survivor. It's possible to have a rich and rewarding and abundant marriage, and then you lose that person that you've come to depend on and lean on, and after in the loss, there's debilitating loneliness. I can't imagine the pain of losing a soulmate. Tammy and I have agreed that we're going to go at the same time at the age of 92 in a skydiving accident. But the lonely survivor. See, life is constructed of shared and mutual experiences and joys and feelings and preferences for restaurants and music and movies and thousands of other things that link us together as spouses and as marital partners in the bonds of that partnership. And when your spouse is the other part of you and you're the other part of them and they're half your heart and that spouse leaves for eternity, it leaves you to be forced to rebuild in the wake of loneliness. And it's figuring out how to move forward through that season of aloneness. Vance Havner, who was an incredible preacher years ago, his wife died suddenly, and he did the funeral, and he was at the graveside, and he was walking away, and a young man approached him and said, "Pastor," he said, I'm so sorry that you lost your wife." And he said, "Young man, she's not lost. I know where she is. I'm the one who's lost." And so there's the lonely survivor. But I want you to see, fourthly, there's the lonely senior adult. There are many senior adults who have aged and have gotten older, and they've given the best years of their life to their children, and now their children are busy, and they have careers, and they have their own families, and those children are too busy to call, they're too busy to visit, they're too busy to care for their aging parents, and it's left some senior adults feeling lonely. There's some senior adults who just aren't as needed as they once were. They no longer have these great accomplishments and these trophies. Their names aren't in the newspaper and in the newsletter. And they don't have a house that's filled with children anymore. And the phone's not ringing off the hook. And they're not needed like they once were. And for some senior adults, it's difficult to transition into that phase of where they feel lonely. They feel aloneness. And those are the four pictures that David Jeremiah gives. And so loneliness is just a symptom of being human. It comes to us all. It comes in seasons. And so the question we have to ask is, what is the cause of that loneliness? Where is it coming from? Where is it stemming from? Well, there's several different things that can cause loneliness. The first thing is possibly rejection. Rejection can cause loneliness. Maybe you've been rejected in recent days and you've tried to make friends and you've tried to put yourself out there time and time again and you feel like you've been burned. You've been burned in love. You've been burned in relationships. You've been burned in friendships. And you're at the stage of life where you said, "I'm just going to quit trying. I'm not going to worry about it anymore." And because of your past, you're going to keep everyone at arm's distance. And you're afraid to venture back out, and you don't want to be hurt again. You don't want to be vulnerable again, and so you don't let people in, and you build a wall around you. You have a hard exterior. You keep people at arm's length because you don't want to be hurt again. It could be the second cause is a sense of insecurity. Insecurity can cause loneliness. There are some people who have deep-seated insecurities and they don't find themselves worthy of friendship and worthy of relationships and worthy of marriage. And so what they've done is they've built a self-defense wall around them to guard their heart and to guard their soul from ever being hurt again. And they go to work and they relate to people out of necessity, but they don't let people in. They go home alone and they don't make phone calls because they don't necessarily want to invite people in because they don't want to get hurt again. They're insecure. Listen, if you have a hard time accepting yourself, you're going to have a hard time accepting others and believing they can accept you. And so insecurity. I want you to see, thirdly, that selfishness can cause loneliness. Selfishness can cause loneliness. You know people because you're friends with them. They are so self-centered and so wrapped up in their lives and their interests and their hobbies. All they can do is talk about themselves. And so they're the star of the show and you're just the support cast. You're just there to ask them how things are going, and then they talk about themselves the whole time. You know anybody like that? I have a friend, I call him, and we'll talk for about 30 minutes about him. And then he'll say, "How you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm doing good." He'll say, "Hey, I got to take this call real quick." He don't have time for me. We talk about him. But for most people, conversation is a dialogue. But for a selfish person, it's a monologue where it's all about them. And so loneliness can be a problem for someone who's selfish. And so what's the cure for it? How can we get out of our loneliness? How can we fix it? Well, what you've got to understand is you can't let it consume you. You can't let it make you miserable, because God has a provision for your loneliness. There are two things I want you to know, and I'll be very brief. Number one, if you're lonely today, accept the fellowship of Christian friends. Accept the fellowship of genuine Christian friends. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "If we are in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." I say this today with tenderness and compassion, not with harshness, but oftentimes loneliness is a choice that people make. God has provided something that all of us need, and that is Christian friends. And if you choose to dwell in a lifestyle of loneliness, that is a choice that you are making. Now let me put in a plug for our church, because a church is a great place to feel warmth and friendliness of godly people. I tell you, I work hard to give people opportunities to fellowship and outlets for activity. We all do. This church is a busy church. On Sunday morning, we have an 8:30 service. We have an 11 o'clock service. We have donuts on the mezzanine for you to come and to eat and to connect with people. Every Sunday evening, Paul Kelly teaches an evening Bible study at 5 o'clock in the sanctuary. Tonight, he's kicking off the book of Ezekiel. If you're lonely and you don't want to be home tonight, come to the Bible study. Sheila Gaines said this week in our Wednesday morning Bible study, she said, "I have learned so much from Paul Kelly because he is such a great Bible teacher." And so you come back tonight. We have on Wednesdays, we have a Wednesday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock for those who really don't like to be out in the house in the evenings or drive at night. So you come back Wednesday morning for Bible study. We have Wednesday night supper. We have men's study, ladies' study. We have children's ministry, student ministry. Rick teaches a very compelling one-way Bible study in this room here. Listen, you come and enjoy the fellowship of other Christians. If you're a faithful, active member of Lonsdale Baptist Church, you ought not be that lonely. I had a lady tell me at the ladies' tea a couple of weeks ago. She said, I come to a lot of stuff that y'all do. She said, I have a home church. She said, but I come to a lot of stuff y'all do. She said, y'all are always doing something in this church. I said, tell me about it. And let me just make another point here that I think will be helpful. If you're battling loneliness, find another person who's battling loneliness and invest yourself in them and have them invest themselves in you, and that will help. I so appreciate Wanda Clance, and she recently lost her husband of many years, John Henry, who meant so much to all of us. Wanda determined that she was not going to sit at home and be lonely and be miserable. And so Wanda plays golf. She goes shopping. She goes out to eat. She told me after John Henry died, she said, on Sundays, I'm going to find me another widow, and we're going to go to lunch after church on Sundays. Wanda stays busy. She doesn't have time to be lonely. And if you'll open yourself up to others, they will open themselves up to you, and you'll have friends coming from all over the place. I always think about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a body of water that just takes resources in and never gives anything out. So it's a lake where things go to die. Let me encourage you, don't be a Dead Sea Christian who just takes in without giving out. Because the more you take in without releasing, you'll sink into isolation and loneliness. But I want you to see, secondly, accept the fellowship of other Christians. But number two, accept the fellowship of God's Son. Accept the fellowship of God's Son. Remember, God is the only one that can solve your problems, and that includes the problem of loneliness. The greatest need you have is to connect with the one who created you and to connect with his Son who came from heaven down into this world, who lived for 33 years, who died on an old rugged cross and experienced the ultimate loneliness so you don't have to. See, here's what you've got to understand. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, for all eternity, Jesus and God existed in perfect unity and fellowship. There was never a time they've ever been apart. And when Jesus hung on the cross and all the sins of mankind was placed upon him, in that moment, because God cannot dwell in the presence of sin, God the Father had to turn away from God the Son, and darkness covered the earth. And for the first time in his life, the Lord Jesus was fully alone. He suffered an incredible physical torment for you and I, but in that very moment, for the first time in his life, the Lord Jesus was lonelier than any human being had ever been. You think about it. Where were his friends? They were gone. They rejected him. They betrayed him. They denied him. You talk about loneliness. And so what does that mean for you and I when we think about Jesus on the cross? It demonstrates that in those moments where we feel so alone and so lonely, that we have a Savior who knows exactly how we feel. You see, Jesus felt that pain of loneliness firsthand on the cross. You might think today that nobody loves you. And I would tell you this, nobody loves you like Jesus. You might think nobody cares. I would tell you this, nobody cares for you like Jesus. And today, if you'll embrace the Son of God into your heart, he will step out of heaven and he will step into your life. He will indwell your heart, and you'll never, ever, ever be alone again. When Jesus comes in to your heart, he fills you with peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction that you cannot find in this world. You won't find it in drugs. You won't find it in money. You won't find it in relationships. You can only find it in Jesus. Today, if you'll reach out to Jesus, every hope, every joy, the miracles that you've been wanting can happen for you in Jesus. If you'll give your heart to Jesus today, the storehouse of God's blessings will be open for you. And here's the deal. If you'll come to Jesus today, not only will you get Jesus and heaven and peace and forgiveness, but you'll get all these brothers and sisters thrown in. Can I get an amen? What a blessing. You'll have friends. You'll have family. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And maybe others have betrayed you, they've disappointed you, they've walked out on you, they've left you. Can I promise you today, Jesus never will. Once he comes in, the Bible says he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's the beauty and the wonder of Jesus. You'll never be alone again. You say, is there anything that can ever separate me from him? He's never going to leave. Your hotel is not your heart's not a hotel that Jesus checks in and out of. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, loneliness is an epidemic that affects so many. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers, told a story some years ago about a man who put an ad in a Kansas City newspaper. And he said this: if you need anyone to talk to, I will listen for 30 minutes for $5. 30 minutes for $5, left his phone number. And you probably wondered, surely nobody called him. Within a matter of weeks, he was getting every day 30 to 40 phone calls of people who were talking 30 minutes or an hour and a half, because there are so many people who are lonely. And today you may feel alone, you may feel lonely, and you may feel like nobody cares. Listen, nobody cares like the Lord Jesus. You may think nobody loves you. Nobody loves you like the Lord Jesus. And today you can come to Him and you can find freedom and forgiveness and peace and joy unlimited. And you'll never, ever be alone again. Let me pray for us. Well, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus, you've never had your life transformed by Him, why don't, right in the quietness of this moment, why don't you reach out to Him and pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Christ died for me. And I need you in my life because I want to live for you. I want to love you. And I want to spend eternity with you when my life on this earth ends. Today you can pray just something like that and reach out to Him in faith, and you can be saved. I want to ask you to do me a favor with heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I invite you to come if you want to know what it means to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to step out of your seat, walk down one of these aisles, and say, Chris, today I want to be saved. You think, boy, that's embarrassing. What's people going to think? Let me put your mind at ease. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be thrilled beyond measure that you come. In fact, the Bible says all of heaven celebrates when one sinner comes to repentance. Maybe you're looking for a church to join. You've been coming here and you feel like this is where the Lord would have you to attend and be a part of the family. We'd be thrilled to have you. Maybe you just need to pray. Maybe you have dealt with isolation and loneliness, and you just need someone to listen. You need someone to talk to. You need someone to pray for you. We'd be honored to do that today. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do, you come. Father, in Jesus' name, would you speak to your people, and we'll celebrate and rejoice when you do. In Jesus' name I pray.